But tonight, America stands on the threshold of destiny. As Tuesday, we cast our ballots in the most important election of all time. What will happen? Who will win? What if there's a blue wave? What if there's a red wave? Well, tonight, as you stand with me and go to Isaiah chapter 9, tonight what I want to talk to you about is no matter what happens, I want to give you five things that Jesus will be to us no matter who wins or loses the election of destiny in 2020. Five things that Jesus will be to us in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, and this actually springboards right into the Christmas season. And we won't forget Thanksgiving, my brother, I promise you, and Pastor. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, if you're there, say amen. Read it out loud with me. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with justice and judgment from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Father, thank you that you are God of America, and you're God of North Carolina, and you're God of Wilson County, and you're God of Westmoreland Church, and you're God of my life and everyone's life. And we'll give you the praise for victory. We already declare it this Tuesday and beyond in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And everybody said amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight as you're being seated. Amen. And tell somebody we're on the winning side. Amen. Make no mistake, a lot is at stake this Tuesday. A California-based fundraising software company that serves nonprofits like churches will no longer provide service to the nation, a Christian conservative active organization, Family Research Council, citing the Southern Poverty Law Center. And let me tell you who the Southern Poverty Law Center is, run by Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. And we certainly honor all races. But they have filed a lawsuit against this company as an anti-LGBT hate group. FRC, Family Research Council, announced that it was informed by mobile calls, CEO Victor Limangeli, that the text service provider agreement between the two entities was to be terminated 1 hour before the organization was set to host its Pray, Vote, Stand broadcast as part of its 2020 voter turnout initiative. Now listen to this. According to a statement released by the advocacy group, the termination was based on the organization's, this is Family Research Council, they terminated it based on their religious views and prevented the broadcast from reaching thousands of Christian voters with information about this election. Tony Perkins, the FRC president, accused mobile calls of discriminating against his organization by censoring those with whom they disagree with. So here's a Christian organization about to launch information to hundreds of thousands of voters through text messaging and other means. And the text message company has been pressured by the Southern Poverty Law Center, headed by Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, that FRC is anti-LGBT. And so that texting company said, we'll no longer, because you are now considered a hate group, we'll no longer send your text message. Again, this is the Family Research Council that has done major Christian work for decades in America. Black Lives Matter activists have stormed a hospital where ambushed officers were being treated after two Los Angeles sheriff's deputies sustained multiple gunshot wounds after being ambushed while sitting on their patrol vehicle And on September the 12th, just a few weeks ago, the Black Lives Matter protesters stormed the hospital to which the officers were transported for emergency surgery. By the way, did you hear this on the news? I don't think so. According to the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Office, protesters attempted to block the entrance and exit of the hospital. Protesters, talking about Black Lives Matter protesters, shouted that they hoped the injured officers died. The activists told the officers, "You're next. You're all going to die one by one." One witness said that many of the protesters said death to the police. And if you'll go on the website of Black Lives Matter, you'll see that it's really not about African-American good and African-American and Caucasian and Hispanics coming together. It's not what that's about all right. It is using the grievances and the hurts of the African-American to bring a political turnaround in this country. If you go to their website, it says, "We are for the abolition of the nuclear family," which means mom, dad, and kids. Well, look at all of the generations, and you see where a lot of the things that we see in America, the problems that we have, is because there's not a dad, and not a mom, and not a nuclear family. So understand that Black Lives Matter is really not about black lives, because to be honest with you, they don't want you to say all lives matter. Well, I want to tell you something tonight. That's not biblical, because all lives matter. Our black brothers and sisters, our Hispanic brothers and sisters, our Caucasian brothers and sisters. Jesus didn't die for the black man or for the white man or for the tan man. He died for all mankind. All lives matter. You matter. Jesus died for all of us. And don't tell me it's one sect or one group, and others may have been more hurt and others may have been more discriminated, but that's just a short view of history. When you look throughout the long lens of history, from the gates of Eden to 2020, all races have been discriminated and enslaved and impoverished, and all humanity has been brought under the rule. The issue's not black people or white people or red people. The issue's the devil, because he's a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We matter before God. Can you give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight? Police officers sitting in their car and just being shot at because they're police officers. The Supreme Court ruled 5-4, now this is somewhat good news, that Montana's exclusion of religious schools from tax credit-funded scholarships violated the First Amendment. The June 30th Supreme Court decision is a major victory for parents seeking to educate their children at religious schools. In other words, somebody was trying to get Christian schools like Wilson Christian, CCS, they can't receive scholarships because they're Christian. And what does that mean? They teach against certain sins. They teach against certain lifestyles. And so they can't get scholarship money and other funds. The Supreme Court, by a vote of 5-4, this was back in June, 5-4 said, no, they can receive those scholarships. That's good for now. Because the truth of the matter is, if the Democrats win, they have made it plain. They've made it plain without making it plain. They won't answer it directly, but they have certainly answered it indirectly. But the Democrats are going to add, if they win the Senate and the White House, they're going to add 4 more Supreme Court justices. All 4 will be the most radical leftists who will be anti-God, anti-Bible. Those 4 will give a permanent majority to the Supreme Court. They will also add statehood to Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico. Why? Because every state has to have how many senators? 2. So that means 4 more Democrat senators who are, it will be a permanent, no matter who the president is, if they hold the Senate and the Supreme Court, this country is in big trouble. Churches that preach against the sin of homosexuality will be labeled hate groups, taxed, and eventually shut down. Preachers will be examined with their content and their messages. Police departments will be defunded. I saw where even our police police chief, whom I've met, a very nice man, Calvin Woolard. And if I were to see him, I would certainly ask him, what is this de-escalation stuff that you're trying to do? Brother, when somebody's robbing my house or hurting my children, I'm not here to de-escalate. I'm here to shoot to kill and protect the innocent. And then we'll ask questions later. Now, when I say shoot to kill, that'll be my last resort. But I ain't going to have time for an interview. We've got to take control, or anarchy is going to take over. And right here in Wilson, we have a police chief that says they may be more inclined to be careful what they do. And I think they should be careful. But at the same time, we must not at any point let our police officers be defunded. They must be empowered to enforce the law. Abortions will continue. I remember when presidential election of 1992, and America was looking at Bill Clinton versus George Bush. Bill Clinton was handsome and energetic, and he knew the Christian voters were concerned about abortion. So he got up there with his charisma and said, yes, I think it should be legal, but I think it also should be safe, and I think it should be rare. He said those three things: safe, legal, and rare. So Christians who had objections to voting for him and were not quite convinced with George H.W. Bush said, okay, he's not that radical on abortion. Well, we've gone from safe, legal, and rare to where if a baby is 9 months in the womb and the mother says, I want to abort that baby can be killed. And if that baby's killing is botched and it is birthed, then after the birth, that a doctor can put a knife in its neck and take its life. My God, are you telling me that you're going to vote for that side? And I do agree with our pastor. I'm not telling you how to vote. He's not telling you how to vote. But I am going to tell you this. You better be careful what you do when you go in that voting booth. If you vote, or who you vote for is between you and God. I can't pull the lever for you, but I'll tell you this, you will stand before God Almighty, so be very careful and be very prayerful and make sure that you vote and vote God's way and the right way. I wish somebody would say amen. Now, if this election goes the wrong way, me and Pastor Jerry are gone. I'm telling you, brother, we're out of here because we're just telling it like it is. But thank God for preachers and thank God for America where we could tell it like it is. You may not like the diagnosis, but thank God for the doctor that'll say this is what we need to do. Can you say amen? We'll have 62% taxes. We'll have government-run health care. Oh, everybody deserves health care. It's, you know, it ought to be a bill of rights that everybody has health care. Can I tell you, number one, that if you walk into any emergency room, do you know you'll get treated? Number two, can I also tell you this, that has anybody ever gone to the DMV and found it an efficient and wonderfully customer-oriented and easy process? And have you ever, when it crosses your mind, I've got to go to the DMV, are you excited about that, or do you dread it like drinking vinegar? I bet you some of you would rather have a root canal, to quote somebody on our conference board, would rather have a root canal than go to the DMV. I'm just telling you that who runs the DMV? The Department of Motor Vehicles. The government, the state of North Carolina runs it. And if you want the state to step in and run your health care, you do need a health examination. Because I want you to know, people say, well, we've got this problem, we've got that problem. What you're looking for is perfection. You're not going to find perfection in any area, including health care. But I'll tell you right now, 99% of the time, our health care is accessible. It is affordable. I know health insurance is high, and I know doctor's visits are high, but I don't want my doctor to make $30,000 a year. I want him to make $300,000 a year. Because why? I don't want him opening up my heart and worrying about paying the light bill. I want him to be fresh from a cruise. I want him to be tan. I want his children paid, his children's education paid for, because when he cuts on me, I want him to be debt-free. and wealthy. Praise God, the laborer is worthy of the hire. I'd rather pay the doctors than the politicians. Let's pay them $30,000 a year. And I think it might weed them out a little bit. Amen. Presidential candidate Joe Biden said in the last presidential debate, he said these words, that we're headed for a dark winter. But I'll say to President candidate Joe Biden, if the wrong side wins, we'll have a dark future. It'll go beyond this winter. I'm going to say it again. Make no mistake, a lot is at stake in this election. But in our text tonight, in the book of Isaiah, we read at chapter 9, verse 6, one of the most beautiful passages of the coming of the Messiah. And if you'll read the first 8 verses, I'm not going to read it tonight. I started to read it to you, but I said, no, I'll just explain it to you. You can read it. But Isaiah is speaking to a world that is filled with calamity, a world that is filled with war. Go back in those first 8 verses and you'll hear of woe and war and calamity. But against the black velvet of a dark night, a star rises, a glimmer of hope. In Isaiah 9 and 6, against the backdrop of calamity and evil and persecution and destruction, we hear these words, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." And I want to give you those 5 things, because no matter what happens election 2020, Jesus will be to us these 5 things. He will be to us, point number 1, wonderful. No matter who wins Tuesday, he is wonderful. He is wonderful in his provisions. He will provide protection. I know that there's rioters and looters. In Raleigh the other night, went on curfew. Darnell and I were going to run up to Raleigh and run a few errands later after I got off work later. And sometimes we don't get up there till 8:30 or 9 sometimes with my work schedule. But we had one night to get up there. And we found out the mayor said, no, it's shut down. And we're seeing that there's so much destruction. We're seeing that when I was at work not long ago at Best Buy, that they sent us home at 4 o'clock because right here in Wilson they were afraid of. But I'm just here to tell you, Jesus is wonderful. He is wonderful in his protection. And I want you to know that if for some reason I am a victim, or I get killed, or I get shot because of racial or civil unrest, I want you to know that this world is not my home. I'm going to a place where the wicked will cease their troubling and the weary will be at rest. He is to us wonderful in his protection. He is wonderful in his peace. He is wonderful in his pardon. He is wonderful in his person. My wife didn't get a chance to talk with Mike Pence, but I'll tell you what, my wife had a conversation with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on a daily basis. Hallelujah, somebody. He is wonderful. Can you say amen? Amen. How sad to know biology, the study of life, and not know Jesus Christ, the giver of life. How sad to know astronomy, to study the stars and to see how the heavens go, and not know Jesus Christ, the bright and the morning star, and to go to heaven. How sad to know geology and the strata of the rocks and the geological ages, and not know Jesus Christ, the rock of ages. To be able to say, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. How sad, I say, it would be to know botany, the study of flowers, and not to know Jesus, Sharon's sweetest rose, who can perfume any life. How sad it would be for a person to claim to be educated and know history from beginning to end, and to miss the central event in history, which is the story of Jesus, his story. I want to say that a wise man is ignorant A rich man is poor, and a strong man is weak, until he knows his name is wonderful, until he knows the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the God of Gods. And no matter what happens this coming Tuesday, he is to us wonderful. Can you shout praise God? And can you give him a hand of praise and victory? He will be to us wonderful. He will be to us a counselor. Boy, there's a lot of confusion out there. I mean confusion. People don't know how to, what do you identify? Am I a male? Am I a female? And we're living in a day where this is what's going to happen now. A child is giving birth in the hospital, and where they would look at the baby, and they can see it's either a little girl or a little boy. You can see the anatomy is there, boy or girl, male or female, but on the piece of paper, they're not going to fill in the male or female. Why? Because they're going to let that child grow up, and then when it discovers, now it may have all the plumbing for a female, but if it thinks, well, I am truly a male in a female body, or a female in a male body, and I'm not here to make fun of these people. They are confused, and that's what the devil, he wants to steal your identity. If God made you a male, he made you that for a reason. If he made you a female, there is dignity in each of the sexes. God made them male and female to glorify him, and a man is great at being a man, but when a man tries to become a woman, we got problems. And a woman is great at being a woman, but when a woman tries to be a man, there's confusion. Oh, my friend, God wants to bring counsel to us. He wants to set us right. He's got a plan. He thought about you long before you were conceived. And if you're struggling with your identity, if you have feelings towards the same sex, it's not that you're a wicked, evil person. We're all sinners. It's that God wants to give you counsel and show you what to do, and you can follow his plan, and he will bring fulfillment and joy, and he will be to you a counselor. Can you say amen here tonight? Our problems can, and we should love people when they come up and they say crazy stuff like that. When they say that, hey, I'm gay, or I'm this, that, and the other, and you give me enough time, and I'm going to talk with them. I'm going to try to reason with them, and I'm going to pray for them. And at the end of the day, if they still think that, then you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to love on them. Because they are human beings, amen. And they do have an eternal soul. And I pray that God will open their eyes, and all eyes, before it's eternally too late. And we were all born in sin. And our problems can indeed be difficult and complex. So we often need a counselor to turn around and tell somebody, you need counseling, amen. Tell them. A good counselor is one, I like this, a good counselor is one who can understand your problems and completely provide you with guidance towards a solution. Amen? We have a lot of voices in this world, a lot of voices right now. And so somebody said what? Wrong voices, wrong choices. Be very careful. You know, friends, Romans, countrymen, it's Mark Antony's speech they taught in school, friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. That's what the devil wants. He wants you to lend your ears. And be careful who you lend your ears to. If they're not biblically based, and if it's not based upon the Word of God. We have a lot of evangelical, so-called evangelical. Makes me really wonder that saying, well, I'm going to vote for the other side. Oh, yes, this side is pro-life, but they've never really done anything about it. When they've got an argument there. We've had Reagan, we've had Bush, two Bushes, we've got Trump, and as of 2020, we still have Roe versus Wade. We've appointed, the Republicans have appointed 12 of the last 15 Supreme Court justices. Why is that court even in play? Well, I remember when Justice John Roberts was appointed by George W. Bush. He was a hope and a bastion of conservatism, and now he's right in with that sorry lot over there. I don't know what the problem is. I don't know what what got a hold of him. And you know what? We're not looking to the Republican Party. That's the point. We're looking to Jesus Christ, and we're getting on our knees. And with the appointment of Amy Coney Barrett, I do think we are a little bit closer than where we were 4 years ago. Thank you, Donald Trump. Not just Amy Coney Barrett, but the other two. Who would have thought three Supreme Court justices, but the wrath of the other side is going to outdo it with four. So we better take some counsel, and we better listen, and we better vote. And regardless, at the end of the day, he will be to us a counselor. Who do I marry? How do I date? How do I handle my money? What do I do about children that are not saved? And how should I raise my children? You ought to ask these questions and quit listening to TV advice. We need to get back to the scriptures and back to the Word of God and back to discipleship. Amen, somebody. Because he wants to be a counselor. And by the way, you ever gone to been in trouble? Maybe you have. I haven't really been in trouble. I don't know what trouble I'll get into in the future, you know. But I'll tell you this: if I get into some trouble and I got to go down to the courthouse, I'm going to hire somebody because I don't know the lingo. I don't know how to talk this crazy stuff. You know, this stuff's way over my head. I was a college graduate, but I don't know. I need an attorney. Amen. I need good counsel. And don't you love it when those attorneys, they stand up and boy, they'll just put it out in words that'll persuade that jury. Well, I'm here to tell you, I have Jesus. He's my counselor, praise God. And he defends me. And he'll give me a word from the Lord. And I want you to know I got a word from the Lord from my counselor. Everything's going to be all right. Somebody praise him tonight for him being a counselor. He will be to us wonderful. Say amen. No matter what happens Tuesday, he will be to us a counselor. Number three, he will be to us the mighty God. We can't worship Donald Trump or Mike Pence. We can't worship politicians. He is our mighty God. Amen. God is all powerful. And I'll tell you something else. Again, whoever wins this election, Joe Biden wins it, he's still the mighty God. God. Amen? I said he's the mighty God. Oh, why do Psalms 2, 1 through 4. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Psalms 2, verse 2. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. I'm going to stop right there because that's what the rulers, they're trying to make rulings against the Lord and against his anointed, against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, say in verse 3, let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. Verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Turn around and tell somebody, God's got the last laugh. Amen. I said, God's got the last laugh. He is the mighty God. I was reading some time ago that if you were to take the molecules in just one drop of water, and if you were to take one drop of water and change the molecules in that water to a grain of sand, so the water has all these molecules, and if you could change all those molecules to one grain of sand, they have discovered that you could have enough sand to make a highway 1/2 mile wide and 1 foot thick from New York to San Francisco. That's just the molecules in one drop of water. That's a mighty God. That's a mighty God. Amen. He's a mighty God. In Colossians 2 and 3, our God is all-powerful, and he is all-knowing. He knows everything. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Go to the source. Go to the one who made you. If you're struggling with your identity, go to the one who has all knowledge, all power, and he is all knowing. Psalm 139. Psalm 139. He is all present. He is omnipotent. Say amen. He is omniscient. All knowing. Say amen. And he is omnipresent. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be a light unto me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. He is the mighty God, mighty in all knowing, mighty in all power, mighty in all presence. He is with us. He is in us. He is for us. He is mighty in miracles. He is the water walker. He is the Lazarus come out of the grave after 4 days. Behold, he stink. He is the one who touched the casket of the woman's son, and he got out of that casket. He is the one that took a few loaves and a few fish and fed the 5,000. He is the God that Joshua said, Son, stand thou still. He's the God that gave Ahab a sign and turned the degrees back 10 degrees. He's the God that can restore the years that the canker worm hath eaten and the pommel worm. He is on the throne. He is up to something. He is after Tuesday, before Tuesday, and long into eternity. He is the mighty God. I wish somebody would praise him tonight. Well, glory. He's mighty in miracles and mighty in deeds. He's mighty in mercy. God's had mercy on this country. As Pastor said, so goes America, so goes the world. And we don't understand how all this is going to come out in Bible prophecy, but we know that he will be to us wonderful. Say amen. He will be to us a counselor. Say amen. So if you wake up Wednesday morning and, God forbid, the wrong person wins, he will still be to us the mighty God. Amen? And if the right person wins, our faith is not in him. Our faith is in the mighty God. Amen? And number three, he will be to us, he will be to us the what? Everlasting. Let's stop with the word everlasting. That means he's here to stay. That's what everlasting means. That means he is here to stay. And I left those scriptures at home. Lord have mercy. Sister Darnell, did I send you those? Yes, I did. Go to the next scripture there. Let me just tell you this. It says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Can you say amen? Amen. And then go to the next scripture. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from what? And let all the people say, and praise ye the Lord. Go to the next scripture. Oh, praise God. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth. God was here from the beginning. And he'll be here in the conclusion. And the heavens are the work of thine hands. Go to the next scripture. And they shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall wax old like a garment. They shall all and as a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same. Thy years, they fail not. Go ahead. Is that it? All right. Well, let me tell you something. The next president is going to be sworn in on January the 20th, 2021. And he will serve, if he lives, nothing happens. We pray not, because both of them are old, amen. You never know what's going to happen. I don't mean that if you're, you know, I better take that back. One looks older than the other, I promise you. But they are advanced in years, let me put it like that, amen. Sean Connery, praise God, he was 90, that's right, that's what we're aspiring for, James Bond anointing, amen, just get all the way up there to 90, but both of them, hey, either one could pass away, well, you could pass away, but let me tell you something, they're going to serve from January the 20th, 2021, to January the 20th, 2025, and after that, for Trump, he has to go. And if Biden wins, if he doesn't get reelected in 20, which he said he was only going to run one term, that's about all I can handle, I think, then he's going, either way, 4 years. Turn around and tell somebody, 4 years. But look at the next scripture, Sister Darnell. Look at that next scripture. Amen. That's right. You got that next one up there for me? I think it's Psalm 93. Watch this. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. He is God tonight. He'll be God on January the 20th, 2021. He'll be God on January 20th, 2025, and forever and forever. I want you to know that long when the Washington Monument becomes ashes, he'll still be God. When Joe Biden and Donald Trump are in their graves, he'll still be ruling and everything. Hitler came and went. Mussolini came and went. Joseph Stalin came and went. But our God is here to stay. He is the everlasting Father. He will be to us the everlasting Father. Can you give him another praise here tonight? Amen. He's the everlasting Father. Say the word Father. You know, politicians say, well, we care about you. We care about the voters. And read my lips and all of this. And what can you do for me? And going back to Bill Clinton, he said, I feel your pain. You remember when he said that? And he caused a lot of pain, didn't he, sad to say. Politicians, you know, they think they, you just give me your vote and I'll give you this or I'll give you that. Let me tell you, you've got a heavenly Father, amen. And he has promised you peace. He's promised you prosperity. He's promised you, now he didn't say in this world you wouldn't have problems. He didn't say, he said in this world you shall have tribulation. All these political commercials are like mosquitoes and gnats. They just, I'm tired of them. Every time you turn around, they just, all kinds of stuff. But we're going to a place, praise God, we're going to a place where there's no more political ads, and all of God's people say it. Because I'm going to tell you something about God. He can't be elected. He's not going to resign. And you can try to impeach him, but you can't remove him from office. He is the everlasting Father, and he loves us. He's my Father. He cares for us. The story is told of President Abraham Lincoln. You know, he had children in the White House. He had two children. One of them sadly passed away. But one of them was out playing in the yard, and he saw a Union soldier, and the Union soldier was weeping. And he said, sir, what's the problem? He's like, I'm trying to see the president. And this soldier didn't know who the boy was. He said, I'm trying to see the president. I've got to see the president. He can't see me. He's too busy. He's got too many things to do. And I'm going to have a very big problem. And the little boy said, oh, well, just follow me. So he followed the little boy right on into the White House, right on past the people standing in line, right on upstairs. Back then, the president's office was upstairs in the White House. They didn't build the West Wing until many years later. And he went right on upstairs. This Union soldier followed him, went right on into the office and said, Daddy, this man says that he needs to see you. Well, that's our Father, amen. And we can see him, and he will be to us the everlasting Father. And then finally tonight, he will be to us the Prince of Peace. Oh, we need peace right now, don't we? We need peace. We need peace. We've rejected the Prince of Peace. And that's the reason there is no peace until there's peace in Jerusalem. And there'll be no peace in Jerusalem until Jerusalem crowns her King, the Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, my dear friend, there can be that personal peace. That peace with God. The Bible says peace like a river. Isaiah called it peace like a river. A river comes from a higher source. A river is beautiful. It overflows. It just keeps on coming. You know what a river does? It just overflows as beauty, and it comes from that higher source. And Romans tells us, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Oh, he is my peace in the midst of these turmoil. And people say, oh, are you worried about this election? I am not worried about this election. I'm concerned, but I am not worried about it. I remember when Bill Clinton won in 92, that was my first presidential election I ever participated in. I turned, when I was 18 years old, I was excited. I said, I'll be able to vote. Well, this was in 1989. Well, I missed the 88 election. And so I had to wait all the way to 92. But I remember the day on August the 9th, 1989. We're talking about 89 a lot, Pastor. But on August the 9th, 1989, I turned 18. And I went to Nashville, North Carolina to register to vote. I registered for, I considered both parties. I talked to my teachers in school. And I would listen to the conventions and the speakers. But I found out there was one political party that was really trying to end abortion. And I thought, well, there's really no choice. I don't, as much as this party might have some good things about it, this party's trying to stop the murder of babies. This is 18-year-old in 1989. And so I registered with that political party. And don't look back. Don't regret it. People say, well, they haven't done it yet. Well, I can tell you one thing. They might not have done it yet, but there's been a lot of people in it that's trying, and we've made a lot more strides than you realize. But I can definitely tell you that other side, they ain't had no intentions of repealing it. If anything, they want to strengthen it, and we're talking about the murder of babies. And you're saying you're a Christian? No, you got to vote. Listen, I'm not telling you how to vote, but I'm telling you be careful how you vote. I've heard of a man, Brother Ray, come on up and let's get that song ready tonight. I heard of a man who died and his widow bought him a beautiful tombstone with all of her money for him, a gravestone, and she put these words on his tombstone or gravestone, rest in peace. A few days later, they read the will and found out that he didn't leave her a dime. So she got feisty and she went back to the grave marker and she said, add these words, rest in peace till I come. Hear me tonight. Whatever they announce Tuesday night, or whatever we find out Wednesday morning, rest in peace until he comes. Would you stand with me tonight? Amen. That was 1969. I wasn't here. I know Brother Elam was here. President Richard Melhouse Nixon. A good man, a good family of godly people, Whittier, California. In 1969, president was watching the moon walking. By the way, anybody here tonight was watching that when it happened? Just, okay, all right. 13, all right. You were how old, 42? Oh, gray-headed, all right. President Nixon looked to his advisors and said, that is the greatest miracle of all, that man went to the moon. No, President Nixon, that's not the greatest miracle of all, that man went to the moon. The greatest miracle of all is that God came to earth. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and he will be to us wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And if you are proud to be an American, I want you to sing this with Brother Ray tonight. Go ahead, my brother. And Pastor, you can finish the service out tonight. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hey, put it on pause real quick. But listen, folks, is Jesus the Lord in your heart? Thank God for Washington. Thank God for Raleigh. But I want to tell you something. If everything goes as it should go biblically, if you don't know the Lord in your heart, if you don't have he wants to be in your heart. And I know we're talking about people in the White House, but who's in your house? Who is in your heart? Ask him to come into your heart and let him be to you your Savior. Amen. Are you proud to be an American tonight? Man, are you going to vote? If you're not already voted, are you going to vote this Tuesday? Are you going to make sure people around you and your family, let's get out the vote. Let's, like a mighty army, and let's vote the Bible. Let's praise God for America. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Gone. I worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Oh, there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, Detroit down to Houston, New York to L.A., there's pride in every American's heart, and it's time we stand and say, I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the men who died. Defend her still today. All there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that pride. Defend her still today. Oh, there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen.
You know, I heard a prophet say the other night that Joe Biden and the Democrat Party lied so much that they had to get somebody else to call their dogs. The dogs won't even come to them. They had to get somebody else to call their dogs.
His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of His kingdom there shall be no end. My dad and I were having a deep theological discussion one day. My dad's a great Bible scholar. He's in heaven today. He loved the book of Revelation and the book of Romans. They were his favorite books in the Bible. And we were talking about the rapture. And he said, do you think you live good enough to go in the rapture, son? I said, well, I'm not counting on my goodness. I'm counting on God. I said, matter of fact, the Bible says, when Christ, which is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. The Bible says, if you then be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above, not upon the things of this earth. I said, I've set my affections upon God, and when he comes, I expect to go. I said, do you think, Daddy, that you would go if you died and Jesus comes and the graves burst open, do you think you would go to be with the Lord? He said, well, certainly I do. I said, well, why do you think that you don't live good enough to go if he should come in the rapture? And I looked over at my mother, and I said, Mother, what do you think about all of this that we've been talking about? And my mother was a very wise woman, and she gave me an answer that has settled every theological, I don't want to say argument, but every theological debate that I have been in. And she said, Son, whatever Jesus does, it will be right by me.
Amen.
I said, that is the greatest wisdom I have ever heard. People come and people go, but the word of the Lord to us remains the same.
Amen.
And whatever happens, Jesus is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's the mighty Counselor. He's with us, he's for us, and he's in us. And I thank God that whatever happens, he's going to do what's right by us. And I leave you with that piece of wisdom and that piece of peace in Jesus' name. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for this great nation. And we pray, Lord, that your people will go out and vote. Lord, this is a defining moment in the history of our nation. And Father, we're looking to you. But Lord, when it's all said and done, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Lord, help us to protect our religious freedoms, the sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman. Help us to protect, Lord, the treasures that you have given us to be a part of the greatest nation that was ever raised up. And Lord, as goes America, we know we're in a critical time of history. So goes the world. So thank you, Lord, for blessing this nation from sea to shining sea. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. Look at three people and tell them, you're blessed and highly favored of God. You are blessed, 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 and highly favored of God. You are blessed and highly favored of God. Hallelujah.